Hello and welcome to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. Paradox Rift pre-releases have come out and released. Sean, I unfortunately could not go to any Paradox pre-releases, but let me know, because I heard from a little birdie, that little birdie being you, that you ended up going to one.
I went to two. I went to one on Saturday.
Oh, you went to two. Oh.
Yeah. I went to one on Saturday and one on Sunday.
So, okay, how'd they go?
I mean, I went 3-0 at both of them.
Oh, so you're just a pro. You're winning worlds soon, right?
You know what's funny? I went 3-0 at both, and I got second at both.
What? Oh, your resistance?
Sure. I don't know. It's 3-0. It's a pre-release. Who cares? But it was funny.
One thing that I've really appreciated, because like I just haven't been able to go to, I think I said this last week, I haven't been able to go to a lot of Pokemon events just because of timing of the Pokemon events around here. But I've been playing a lot of like Weiss and One Piece. And in One Piece, at least, it really makes me appreciate that they play until someone's undefeated. Like there's only one person left that's undefeated. So then you don't have a moment like what you're saying where, you know, it's just three rounds. And if there's multiple people at 3-0s, well, it just depends on your resistance.
I mean, yeah, there's certainly a part of it. Pre-release is weird because it, I don't know if it's a format that you want to force people to play four rounds of it anyways.
No, you don't.
If you're doing well, you have a good deck, you might be down. But all the people who are like 1-2 or whatever are like, yeah, I'd rather not keep playing with this deck. It's not good. So.
Or just allow like in between rounds to like make adjustments. If you did that, that would be kind of cool. But
yeah,
I will have to say, Sean, how many Iron Hands EX did you pull?
Did I pull one? I don't think I pulled one.
You didn't pull any and you won all of your games?
Yeah, I didn't use a single EX Pokemon in either of my decks.
You didn't use any EX Pokemon?
Nope, didn't need to.
Oh my gosh. Sean, you're absolutely cracked deck builder. Greatest of all time. Put him up there with Tord and Pram and all the great deck builders. Jimmy.
I will say, I didn't really do all that much to my deck outside of what I got. I'll say this. I think that the best line of Pokemon that you can get is the Galisapod Aegislash. So that's like, you know how there's different combinations? But both Galisapod and Aegislash, which was my first deck, they are high HP, meaning 140 or 150, which is a really relevant number.
Yeah.
And low energy cost for their attack at 1 energy for Galisapod and 2 for Aegislash. So I found that both of those were like solid attackers. And then in my second game, I had the Chiyu Iron Moth version, but I also had Galisapod again. So Galisapod was like a big carry, and I got double what's it called? The Delibird, the future Delibird.
Oh, Iron Bundle, I think it's called.
Yep. I got two of those in both of my decks. So
Nice.
That was also
my MVP. Favorite.
Yeah. Great card.
That's my favorite of the future Pokemon, even though I'm not 100% sure I got its name right. But anyways, Sean, glad you had a ton of fun at the pre-releases. Send us your pre-release polls over on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, or let us know down in the YouTube comments. At MetapodTCG is where you can find us.
Or Threads.
Or Threads, yeah. X, formerly known as Twitter, Threads, or YouTube. Love to see it if you can. And we're going to talk a little bit, if you did not catch last week's episode, the Paradox Rift set review. We did all the Pokemon in last week's episode. And so this week, along with some other talks that we've got going on, we're going to be talking about the trainer cards as well. Sean, how excited are you about the trainer cards?
I am stoked, Jake. I got to see a bunch of them. I got to play around with a little of them at the pre-release, and I have thoughts. Some of them are just, I think, going to be game-changing. So
I do agree. I think a lot of these are going to impact the meta, which is why I'm very happy that they are getting their own version, or they're getting pretty much their own episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variety in here. There's a lot of cool things, a lot of things that are coming back as well for all the longtime players. You may see and see some card interactions that you recognize, some reprinted cards as well.
Jake, do you have a 5-star review for us before we get into part two?
I do. So this 5-star review is titled Perfect for Beginners. It's from Pop Goes the Weedle, which is a incredible, incredible name, I feel like. This one says, I'm coming over from Pokemon after playing Yu-Gi-Oh! My whole life. This podcast teaches me the information beyond the basic advanced rules, and I was having trouble finding strategy. I'll keep listening and practicing and cannot wait to hear more.
All right. Thank you. That's dope.
Thank you. Thank you, Pop Goes the Weedle, for that. And you too can leave your own review for us to read here on the Metapod podcast. Over on Apple Podcasts is probably the best way for us to see it, because they organize it real well. You can also leave some YouTube comments of listening and such. We even have some Twitter ones that will be coming out potentially next week. So leave your tweet reviews for us over there, Sean. But now, Sean, it's time. It's time for the trainers. Time to rustle up some predictions. Time to rustle up some hot takes of these trainer cards potentially. But what's this first one that we'll talk about, Sean?
I mean, I want to go through all of them. So the very first one is the Ancient Booster Energy Capsule. Kind of a mouthful. I don't know if that qualifies as the longest name for a card in Pokemon card history, but that's a lot of words.
I don't know, actually. I'm trying to think of what the longest name would be. That's not something I can think of on the spot.
But, you know, if there's any Pokemon card historians out there, let us know if something beats it. And I don't count the professor's research that has the name of the professor next to it.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
The whole card name being longer. But anyways, this is a tool card. No, is it a tool? No. Yes.
Yeah, it's a tool card. It's a tool card. Yeah.
This is a tool card that says the ancient Pokemon this card is attached to get 60 HP extra and recovers from all special conditions and can't be affected by special conditions. So it's like kind of like half therapeutic energy stapled onto a 60 HP buff, which is pretty crazy, right? Like the Zamazenta, the shield tool card that we got, I think added 60 HP, but it was for one specific Pokemon.
The Bravery Charm does 50 in its basic Pokemon.
Exactly. So, like, if there are any evolution ancients, which I can't remember if there are, but if there are any, or if they come out in the future, this will work on them too. So, I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts about the card just seeing it?
I think it's very interesting, especially when, you know, we go back to a card like Roaring Moon EX. Remember, Roaring Moon EX is an ancient Pokemon with that attack that auto KOs everything and does 200 damage to itself and puts it at 230. You have a couple different options of keeping more health on that, one being this ancient booster energy capsule, right? But also, I think emergency jelly, now that I think about it, also procs on it.
Yeah.
Because I think emergency jelly, how much HP do you have to have? 30 HP or less remaining in heals 120. So there's a lot of different options. Like, if you're playing a deck with more ancient Pokemon, like, that could be really cool for it. I don't know. It's just 60 HP is a lot, like you were saying. Special conditions are not really in this format, but the 60 HP boost in general is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it might be the special conditions might change a little bit with Tapu Koko doing some paralysis. So you know, if you're playing an ancient Pokemon, seems like it's at least something to keep in the back of your mind. I don't think I would put it into any decks immediately, but, you know, I'm sure there'll be some broken card out there. And honestly, it might be a card where if it puts you just out of range of a one-hit knockout as an ancient type, then, like, that's really all you need.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about where Jesse Parker got second. Was that Worlds? That was Worlds, wasn't it? With Maridon?
I don't think it was Worlds. I think it was a regional, one of the recent regionals.
Oh, was it Sacramento? Either way, you know, getting very... Oh, no, 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 that's right, because it was Vance and Tord that were at Worlds. So, yeah, Sacramento. Thank you. You know, you talk about that regional where the Bravery Charm made all the difference, you know, not being able to one-hit KO the Raikou or the Raichu. So we've seen, you know, these buffs already have such an influence and an impact on the meta. This is just another addition.
The next card, Jake, is a reprint of the highest order. This is going to be Counter Catcher. Jake, people love Counter Catcher. People love seeing this. Read the card and tell us why they love it so much.
Counter Catcher is one of those comeback cards. Says you can only play the card if you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent. Its effect, switch in one of your opponent's bench Pokemon to the active spot. So it's basically a boss's orders when you're down on prizes. And in a format where sometimes, you know, you do want to get down on prizes for some certain situations. This card is very, very great in that aspect. You know, being able to, instead of using your supporter for turn to bring up a Pokemon, instead using that supporter to Iono, to Roxanne, to Research, to whatever else, and then instead use this Counter Catcher to bring up a Pokemon and, you know, again, complete the comeback. So this card was very, very good, especially when you talk about it. I think it was like 2016 to 2018 in like the X and Y early Sun and Moon era. I think it was printed in the Sun and Moon era, like Sun and Moon base, somewhere between there and Crimson Invasion, I think. I think the earlier side of that Sun and Moon base set, and it was very heavily played. So if you have already bought your gold Counter Catchers to flex, then lucky you. But now they're about $30.
I pulled a gold Counter Catcher.
Oh, you did?
In my pre-release.
Oh, so it comes out with a gold card?
It does. There is a gold Counter Catcher in the set. I did pull that. So yeah. Keep an eye out for that one if you're looking to flex in that way. But yeah,
that one is listed at $24, so it's less than the old one, which I do have the set confirmed Crimson Invasion.
Nice.
So I had it right, I just shifted it the wrong way. But anyways, very, very good card. This will be a staple in the format. Expect to see a lot of these in most decks playing these. And if you're thinking about a buy list, looking to see what you want to get, Counter Catcher, get four of them.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Counter Catcher is going to be, I don't know how many you'll put in a deck. Most decks will probably run maybe two. You may not need more than that, and it'll be a card where, you know, you'll have to play around, like, you know, keeping it in your deck or keeping it in your hand to use at the right moment. But yeah, broken.
I feel like potentially decks like Mew could play these.
Yeah, instead of cross switcher, this is so much easier.
Yeah, instead of like cross switcher, or I mean, they still probably want to play boss, but like you have a more even split, because like in Mew, you know, you're giving up three prizes, right? So there's a likelihood that, especially when you're facing decks like Lost Box or just anything that's not a two prize deck, like you could go down on prizes a little bit earlier in the game, or at a certain point. So I feel like, especially one prizes as well, like Lost Box probably plays Counter Catcher in some form or fashion. I just think it's best if you're either on the small baby side or you're on the big VMAX side still.
Yeah, that's a good point, because otherwise you're probably just doing a two prize trade every other turn. And so depending on who goes first, it may not actually ever be active in your deck. Yeah. Jake, this next card I am not sure about, but I will talk about it. It's called Cursed Duster. It is it's a tool card, and it says, if the Pokemon this card is attached to is knocked out by damage, it's important to note, by damage, not damage counters, from an attack of your opponent's Pokemon, discard a random card from your opponent's hand. My gut says this card is only good in a deck that is trying to do hand control and nothing else. Because if it was discard a card and you got to choose, then like, okay, there could be a world in which you like play it out in the late game, you attach it kind of like the Box of Disasters sort of strategy after you've Iono'd them, right? I don't know, maybe. I could maybe see a world, but no.
Yeah, I just think, you know, this is a control deck. You know, that's pretty much it. It's just another Sander card, which there are a couple of these in the set. Some ideas that I think we talked a couple of them last week, and I think there may be one more or one or two more cards in here. I can't remember exactly, but just one of those cards that Pokemon prints that's like, okay, here's a little tidbit of like control for you there.
Yeah. Jake, what about the next card? Do you think the next card has any viability?
It's interesting because we've seen from the more recent regionals, not the most recent regionals. What was the one that was where it was like Gyarados VMAX got second? What was that called?
It was Sacramento or...
It wasn't Sacramento, I don't think. Oh, no, it was Sacramento. Yeah. Which means that I misspoke earlier when I was talking about Jesse Parker. Anyways, Sacramento Regionals, we saw Defiant Band in the Gyarados list, a one-off. Well, now in Paradox Rift, we have Defiant Vest, which Defiant Band was taking more damage. But this one, Defiant Vest, says it is a tool card. If you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent, the Pokemon this card is attached to takes 40 less damage from your opponent's Pokemon. I only see this good in one deck, and it's Revavroom.
Yeah, if you can attach like four of them to a
Rev. Yes, that's it.
But that's all. This card for me is like, it's so specific in terms of like you have to be down, and like maybe the 40 damage is good, but like, I don't know. Like, if you're a big enough Pokemon, you're not one hit KO-able, probably. And if you're a basic, well, then you would just play Bravery Charm, right? It's like, yeah. What are we doing here? Like, if you're a stage one, you know there's a stage one card that says stage one Pokemon take 30 less damage called Rugged Belt or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's only 10 more damage and there's no stipulation except being a stage one. So I'm like, I don't get it. Maybe it will fit in some very specific deck where somebody's like, you know, they've beautiful minded the math perfectly. And they're like, I know how to play this card, but I don't see it.
I just don't know. But I know this next one, Sean, this next card, I think is going to be really, really good. Spicy. I think this is a sleeper one. And I don't know if it's actually sleeper. I just really haven't heard anybody talk about it. Maybe some people cooking it up in the kitchen. Sean, what is it?
This card is Earthen Vessel. Don't let the name fool you. It's amazing. It is technically an ancient card. So if there's ever cards that let you search out ancient cards from your deck, Octillery style for Rapid Strike, cool. But otherwise, it just says you can only play this card if you discard another card from your hand, which lots of decks want to discard cards anyway, so this is fine. And then you search your deck for two basic energy cards and put them into your hand.
Done. Easy.
This is Giant Hearth for any energy in any combination that, as long as they're basic as an item. I played these cards in my pre-release deck. They were dope. I watched Andrew Mahone play a early version of Goldengo. This card was the bee's knees in that deck. It was just perfect. So the fact that you can search two energy out, you basically have better than Chen Pao's ability in an item card. And now we have superior energy retrieval as well. It's just there's so much access to energy. It's crazy.
Think about this card in Chen Pao as well.
I mean, just getting
another set of energies. Like, you already get some energies with Chen Pao's ability, like you mentioned, but now you can get even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in Chen Pao, this is amazing. My only question is, are people even going to keep playing Chen Pao with Goldengo coming out? Maybe.
I don't know.
Excalibur is the stage two. That's the only thing that I'm like, but I guess the benefit with Chen Pao.
Isn't Goldengo like energies from hand?
It is. You don't even have to put them onto the field.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. And the only problem is Goldengo is stage one, whereas whatchamacallit's a basic Chen Pao.
It's true.
But
you can't come out of nowhere.
People will sort of, you could Zoroark it.
No, can you? Can you Zoroark?
Yeah, you can Zoroark stage ones. Yeah.
No, Rulebox.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I'm pretty sure it's just stage one. So the idea of EXs coming back was like, oh my gosh, you could do it. Hold on. I'm looking up Zoroark now.
It says
once during your turn, you may choose a stage one Pokemon except Zoroark from your discard pile.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you could come out of nowhere.
I don't know
with
what
that.
The worth would be.
Yeah,
I guess if you're like some sort of a counter deck that specifically used metal energies and. But it's cool. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. But like, look, the card is great. Earthen Vessel, pick up four copies. There will be a deck that you can use it in between now and when it rotates out, or multiple decks. Absolutely insane card. Jake, what about this next card, the other half of the energy capsule pie?
So this one of the future booster energy capsule, lots of tool cards we're talking about right now, and especially in this set. This says the future Pokemon this card is attached to has no retreat cost, and the attacks it uses do 20 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon. So very, very... very, very good. You know, we've talked about it on the podcast before, just pivoting Pokemon are very strong. There's a lot of times you'll see a Pokemon just in a deck to be a pivot. And so now you've got a tool card that gives any of those future Pokemon a pivot. I'm thinking of like Iron Valiant EX, right? Where every time it goes from the bench to the active spot, you put two damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon, right? You can kind of chain those abilities a little bit, play around with that. Or Iron Hands, that four retreat cost Pokemon, getting it out of the active while also doing more damage on Ampu very much. There's a lot of interesting ways that this card can be played, especially with the variety of future Pokemon that we have coming. I like this card. I think it's cool. It's a little bit more niche because it's like the ancient one. You know, it's just for a specific type of Pokemon, the gimmick type of stuff. But, you know, I think this isn't the last that we're going to see ancient and future. So the more cards that we keep getting, the more valuable this card becomes.
And I think another thing to keep in mind, like, we did see like a sort of moment for Venomoth and Spidops, right?
Oh, yeah.
And look, hey, it's an interesting deck. It's a cool control strategy. But this card is a kind of a get out of jail free card against those decks, because Spidops is like, oh, it adds retreat cost. But this card says it has no retreat cost. So doesn't matter how many Spidops you have. I can retreat for free if I have a future Pokemon that this is attached to. So. Yeah.
So if you hate the Venomoth deck and you only want to ever beat the Venomoth deck, just play a future deck with the with four of the energy capsules. Easy.
Yeah. Jake, the next card is a bit of a wah-wah in terms of a supporter. And he's got, in terms of supporter names, a pretty wah-wah name as well. This one is just Larry.
Well, do you know, so you haven't played Scarlet and Violet, right?
No.
Like, Larry, Larry, for the lore, pause in the set review. Yep. Larry is basically like the deadpan, overworked, gloomy, like typical office worker guy. So that's why he seems just so generic.
He's the salary man. That's what he is.
Yeah, he's the salary man. That's it. Yeah.
Got it. Well, they could have given him a better ability. Anyways, this card, it has you flip a coin. If it's heads, you can go get any two Pokemon out of your deck. And if it's tails, you can get a basic. It's like a consolation prize. So in its best case scenario, it's a double capturing. In its best case scenario, it's just like a double Ultra Ball as your supporter. But that's only 50-50. In its worst case scenario, it's a Nest Ball as your supporter for the turn. Kind of. Which is pretty bad.
I just feel like I would rather play Capturing Aroma.
Yeah, I don't get this. Like, I mean, I guess you get a basic. You have the option to get a basic into hand no matter what with this, right? Like, because if you flip heads and you want a basic, you can go to basic. If you flip tails, you get. So it's a basic no matter what if you need it. But I don't know. As a supporter for your turn, like, this is taking up one of the 60 cards in my deck. No, thank you. No, thank you.
But, like, what's the difference between... Well, I mean, I guess I know a little bit of the difference. Like, Irida. Right?
I mean, Irida's any like, water. I mean,
but there's... I'm pretty sure there's decks, and I play, like, Dialga, that only plays, like, two water Pokemon. Like, Greninja and, like, a Lumineon. But the item card part is so strong, and especially like when you talk about when you play Irida for like candy or battle VIP pass is what I'm thinking of specifically. Like, no, this supporter ain't it.
No. Yeah, I fully agree. I was trying to think like, oh, well, what other supporter lets you get two Pokemon? And I thought about Jacques that lets you get two evolutions, which like, you know, like that's the real quote unquote value. The high value is you can go get two evolutions. But I'm like, we have a supporter that does that, and you don't have to flip a coin, and people rarely play it. So, like, yeah.
But Jake, I think I've seen one deck list with it.
I have it in my Wigglytuff deck because...
Oh, yeah. I think you told us that on the pod.
Well, on the lost episode.
Oh, yeah, that's that right. That's lost. True. The episode that nobody will ever know about besides us.
But I will say, like, there's a new... we'll get to it, a TM later that makes Jacques completely irrelevant. But anyways, what's this next card, Jake?
This next card is another tool card called Luxurious Cape. It says if the Pokemon this card is attached to does not have a rule box, it gets 100 HP, and when it is knocked out by damage from an attack from your opponent's Pokemon, your opponent takes one more prize card for it. So it's kind of like the... reverse Heroes Medal, right? Yep. Where instead of less 100 HP and one less prize, this is now 100 HP gained and then one more prize gained. Yep. So I kind of like this card. I think this card could do a little bit of damage in the meta, especially when you talk about, right, the ability to use things like Lost Vacuum, right? Think about, Sean, if you are doing like attackers, but you're denying knockouts, right, because of the extra HP, but then you like, instead of, well, maybe that wouldn't even be good, never mind, I thought like maybe if you just lost zone and KO yourself, like, but no, they still get two prizes from it, so I actually think worse,
they would get one, because if you lost zone the Luxurious Cape,
what I'm saying is like, wouldn't it still just be better to like just keep attacking with that attacker that lived instead of force knocking it out?
Yeah, you're probably right there. I thought about that. Now, I will say the one card I thought about that could be really interesting with this is Mimikyu. The Mimikyu that prevents damage from Vs and EXs. That card is really annoying in certain matchups, but it doesn't have a lot of HP. So if your opponent, I think it has 90 HP exactly. So if your opponent has any Pokemon that can sneak some damage through, like I'm thinking like Archeops, Bidoof, Snorlax, whatever. You throw this on, all of a sudden it's 190. And the question then becomes, well, what you know, non-EX and V can do 190 damage?
Mm-hmm.
And like that, to me, that is a really interesting use case for this card.
Yeah, it's just like there's so many ideas, and this is kind of the big thing about the set that I'm really liking about Paradox Rift is there's just so many ideas, and there's so many exciting cards to build off of those ideas that I've noticed. That's like the cool thing.
The next card is a slightly better supporter, I would say. Mm-hmm. I'm on the fence about it still, but it is Mila, I think is the way you pronounce it. And this one says you can only use this card if a Pokemon was knocked out during your last turn. So basically like Raihan effect. You can only use it in that scenario. But if you meet the correct condition, you can attach a basic fire energy from your discard to one of your Pokemon. And if you do, you draw until you have six cards in your hand, which draw until you have six is pretty decent. As like a secondary bonus, but I don't really know if it's better than Raihan of attach any kind of energy and go get any card out of your deck, right? Like,
yeah,
it's hard to know situationally, like maybe in fire decks, you might want this more if you build it a certain way.
But it almost, I mean, yeah, I mean, this is exclusive to fire decks, like you said, but I mean, unless you're one of those decks that needs multiple pieces so often to hit combos, something like Charizard maybe, right? Because you have to like rare candy and then also Charizard and maybe like something else along the way. Like it could be nice during then, but like, yeah, I don't know. Raihan just always seems better, or more often always seems better.
Yeah. I think when Raihan rotates, which maybe it's in the next rotation, like this might all of a sudden become like a really good fire supporter because it's draw and energy acceleration. And yeah, like that there may be a world in which this is great. But right now, I think this is I think if you love fire decks, and I did pull an alternate art, like the illustration rare of this as well. I think it was nice. If you love fire decks, though, maybe pick up a copy or two of this one in anticipation of it being playable in a year or 6 months.
Because it'll probably be cheap right now, especially. So,
Jake, what about the next supporter?
If you want bland and vanilla, you can talk about Norman, right? You thought Larry was bland. Wait till you hear about Norman. Draw two cards. If your opponent's active Pokemon is a Pokemon EX, draw two more cards. That's it. That's the tweet, Sean.
Why? It's worse than Hop half the time.
Not everything can be broken.
I know. I mean, it's a conditional draw four, which like that would be really good if Colress didn't exist, which is a conditional draw five. And that condition is you have to lose two of them forever. I don't think that matters, though. So, typically.
It's just, yeah, man, Norman is not someone who I feel like has historically had, like, good cards, right? And, like, super playable cards. I just wish he could have gotten one here. But anyways, there are a bunch of cool cards in this set. Not all of them can be winners. Cool, Sean.
Yeah,
I'll talk about this next one because there was nothing really with Norman to talk about. It's just a fair, even trade, Sean. We'll talk about Parasol Lady. This is another supporter. Shuffle your hand in your deck and draw four cards. If you go second and it's your first turn, draw until you have eight cards instead. I like this card.
Yeah, there was a, what was it, Lily?
Yes, Lily back in the day. I think it was draw until you have six, but if it's your first turn, draw until you have eight, I think is what it was. Very, very popular in the Sun and Moon days. Now, the thing about this card, it's a little bit worse because instead of six or five or whatever it was with Lily. It's one less at least with four. Shuffle, draw four. And if you're going to shuffle, draw four, like, I feel like you'd probably do judge instead, because at least you get to mess with your opponent. And then also as well, something that I've kind of thought about is, like, you know, you think about the decks that have used like turn one Lumineon, right? Because of the nerf of this card, essentially, of shuffling the hand, maybe sometimes you just do want to shuffle the hand, right? Maybe better chance to find VIP pass or more basic Pokemon to throw down on the first turn. But the decks that want to play like a turn one Lumineon right now are like Colress Experiment decks or Lugia, Professor Burnett, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, I don't know if Parasol Lady will see a ton of play. Maybe we'll start seeing more decks do like a one Lumineon and a one Parasol Lady to be able to do that. But like, I don't know, after the first turn of the game that you have, if you're going second and most decks want to go first, I don't know, it feels a little too niche right now.
Yeah, I think the fact that Battle VIP exists and that a card like Irida and Arvin also exist make a first turn supporter, like, typically you're not really doing a ton in your first turn, you're setting up. So on that first turn, like, well, I don't need access to any card in my deck. I need access to this one specific card. So those two cards will just go get you a Battle VIP pass. And that's just better than taking a chance at a Battle VIP pass with this. So, yeah, who knows? It could be that, you know, because of its not only value on turn one, but its value throughout the game, like, there's a lot of times where you can Iono, like, people are playing four Ionos because it's great disruption to your opponent, but also it might feel bad to you because you're like, oh, I Ionoed myself down to two in order to disrupt your opponent. So, like, there could be a world where in the future somebody like is like, you know what, this card's actually not terrible. Being able to shuffle and draw four consistently at any point in the game, and you don't have to research to see a bunch of cards. Maybe.
It's a one of at best.
Yeah, I agree.
It's my final take.
Jake, we have a couple of, you know, supporters here that sport the new typings as well. The first one is Professor Sada's Vitality, which is an ancient type supporter. And this one says, choose up to two of your ancient Pokemon and attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to each of them. If you attach any energy this way, draw three cards. So, like, wow, double energy attachment.
Melanie.
Yeah, it's double Melanie, kind of.
Yeah, double attach Melanie, and, well, it's two different ancient Pokemon. But, yeah, still.
This card is, you know, especially we talk about Dark Moon, I think it's called, which is an ancient type Pokemon.
Roaring Moon EX. Right. Yeah. It's a dark type Pokemon, so you're pretty much there.
Close. I almost got there. But like,
you're there.
But like, this card is great in a deck like that because you can play this, and if you have Dark Patch and then one attachment from hand, all of a sudden you've powered up an entire Pokemon that needs three energy in one turn. Or who knows, maybe Energy Switch makes a comeback in this form because you don't need two dark, you know, Roaring Moons to power it up at once. So two darks over here, energy switch one over, attach from hand and go. I don't know, like, and it doesn't have to be to a bench Pokemon either, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's a huge thing as well. Especially when you talk about cards like Gardenia's Vigor, right? That have been super underwhelming since its release. So I like that they just stuck to one stipulation, and that is ancient Pokemon. I think this card's going to be one of the better ones to come out of the set, for sure.
Jake, thought for you here, because Roaring Moon is, I think, probably the best ancient type Pokemon in the set. Is that a fair statement, maybe?
Nah, it's definitely up there within like the top three, I would say. A lot of people are excited about it. I'm trying to look from to see like what other ancient Pokemon there,
Sandy Shocks, I think, was like the Magneton.
Oh, type. Yeah. There was that. Metal or fighting acceleration, right?
Yeah. I mean, but I think about this, and you know, we talk about how Maridon is so good because it can do a turn one attack going second.
Mm-hmm.
And there is very much a world where you could play a dark type deck with this card and go second as your choice and attack turn one. And that Roaring Moon can do 220 damage, I believe it is.
Yeah, by discarding a stadium, just like Lugia.
And like 220 damage knocks out every basic V. It knocks out, I want to say, almost every basic new ancient type and EX type.
Except Roaring Moon.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but you could just use its first attack to knock out a Roaring Moon if you,
yeah,
if
you could.
Need to.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I could see a very aggro dark deck coming out of this because of this and Dark Patch all existing at the same time.
It's definitely a card that enables that kind of play style for sure. I don't know. I just feel like you probably want to stick to like research and stuff, something to make sure your energies are in the discard pile.
That's true.
Things like that. I don't know, but it could be like a one of type thing, you know, one, two of in some of these decks. And it could be, I mean, there's a lot of different options for the future for this card.
Yeah. Jake, what is the next supporter, the future supporter?
We have supporters, Sean, in format that pick up normal type Pokemon, that pick up damaged Pokemon. But now we have Professor Turo's scenario. Now, this is a future type card, right? So again, like you were saying with the potential Octillery, where like just grab any one of these gimmick cards of this specific type. That could be coming in the future. This card could benefit from that. But Professor Turo's scenario says put one of your Pokemon into your hand. Doesn't matter what kind of Pokemon it is. Doesn't matter if there's damage counters or not on it. You do have to discard all cards attached, so no AZs back in the format. But you still get to just pick up a Pokemon in general and put it back into your hand. So I like this card. I think it's good. I think it's probably one of the better ones out of all the like pickup ones that we have. We just don't really need it.
I think this card, I'm just going to say this. I think this is the best supporter in the set.
Really?
Really? This is Acerola. Do you remember Acerola?
Well, Acerola, it had to be a damaged Pokemon. No.
Did it have to be damaged?
You had to, it had to be a damaged Pokemon because people would play it with rainbow energies.
So it's better than Acerola.
No, because Acerola didn't have you discard all cards attached.
Did it not? Okay. Well, point being,
I'm pretty sure it doesn't. And AZ didn't either. But those cards were really, really good. And I think Pokemon is trying to make these like reincarnation cards of these older cards, but not so broken. Like,
I just know that I read this card and the versatility of this card is through the roof.
I do agree. I think there's a lot that goes into this card, and I think there's a lot of playability with this card. But is the best one?
I'm going to stick by that, actually. I think this is the best supporter in the set because I look at this card and I think to myself, okay, if I play a stage one, I know I'm all about Goldengo, to be frank. I'm all about it.
Yes.
Chips I in. Know. But Goldengo only needs one energy. All attached cards does not include the basic underneath Goldengo. It only means the energy. So you pick up the basic and the stage one. Odds are you have lots of them in the field because you want to draw cards. And Goldengo is sitting at 260 HP. You attach a Rugged Band to that and make it an effective 290. Who's knocking you out in one hit other than another Goldengo or Chen Pao, right? Like so many decks right now can't hit 290.
That's a good point.
And honestly, after watching Andrew Mahomes yeah, his practice match with it. You draw so many cards in that deck with its basic ability that I look
at yeah, that's right.
I look at this and he said it, and it's like, you almost don't even need to play a supporter for most of the game. Like the first two turns, you need something to get it all set up. But once it's set up, it's like all my supporters are kind of like, I don't need it. I'm fine.
What is it? Like the ability says, like, draw one card. If this Pokemon's in the active spot, nope. Draw another card.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. If you could just draw a card, and then if it's in the active, you draw two.
Yeah.
And you can use multiple Goldengo. So like it's.
Maybe you're on to something there. Maybe you're on to something, actually.
I don't know. I'm just like, I see this card and I'm like, oh, you don't want your Lumineon on the bench anymore? Pick it up. Oh, there's a damaged Charizard EX and you're worried about Sableye? Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. It don't matter. Anyways, I've made my opinion clear. I might be very wrong, but I think this card is gold.
I think, kind of looking at it, because I mean, I'm pretty high on Professor Sada's vitality, but I think definitely the difference between the two is that Turo can pick up anything, whereas Sada can only accelerate onto ancient Pokemon. But it has that draw three effect as well, which, I mean, we talk about other cards like Mirium, the supporter, if you don't remember, shuffle combination of five Pokemon back into the deck and then draw three cards.
Yeah, I think it's five Pokemon and or energy even.
Either way, it's not played. I think maybe you're right. Turo is probably the most viable, especially ones that we've gone through so far. Still a couple more to go, so maybe your opinion changes with some conversation. I don't know, but anyways, Sean, let's get into one of those other supporters. It's Rika. Rika, a supporter, look at the top four cards of your deck, put two of them in your hand, shuffle the other cards, and put them at the bottom of your deck. I like this supporter.
It's all right.
I like this. I like it.
What supporter would you play this instead of that people are playing now?
What are the other draw supporters besides Iona and Research?
Judge? Colress.
Well, Colress is... No, because you technically lose a card with playing Rika instead of Colress, because Colress, you get to take three, put two in the lost zone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's maybe some viability in something like, I know Arceus Duraludon isn't the most popular deck anymore, but a deck like Arceus Duraludon that jams in Colress's experiment.
Yeah.
Right? When you Colress experiment, you lose those other cards forever. Whereas now they're just being put naturally on the bottom of the deck. You see one less card and you get one less card. So there's a lot of argument to be made there. But I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm playing a lot of like One Piece and Weiss Schwartz, where you just don't draw like you do in Pokemon, or like, I'm playing other card games that don't draw as much. I see a card that says draw or look at the top four, put two in your hand, put two at the bottom of the deck. I love it. I love the card. I mean, One Piece plays it all the time.
This is like, I was telling people at pre-release, I was like, in Magic, this is a great spell, right? This is a good sorcery. You know, you look at four, you put two on the bottom, classic Magic card. And I'm like, wait, but we're not playing Magic. We're playing Pokemon, where I can draw 30 cards in a turn.
Yeah, where there's literally a discard, draw seven. And then, by the way, you can use four Kirlia refinements in a turn, evolve each of the Kirlias into Gardevoirs, and use Shining Arcana or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Draw two more cards.
I think about this supporter and I think to myself, what deck does this go in that doesn't have any better way of drawing cards?
Can it go with a control deck?
Maybe, if you really don't want to. But most control decks, I'll say, they want to go through their deck as quickly as possible to get to a loop.
That's true.
Right?
How many loop strategies do we have, though, in format?
We have Not Silene, many, right? We have Silene and Palpad.
But that's not really... I mean, I guess it is kind of like a infinite loop, technically, unless you get it severely unlucky. Like, I think there was a stream game that someone got severely unlucky and decked out.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were playing Mew VMAX. I can't remember. Anyways, I don't know. I mean, I like Rika. I think Rika's sweet. I just, maybe if it was five cards, that'd be a lot better, but
I think, yeah, honestly, I think if it had been five, I think people would have been like, oh, draw five, keep three, put, but the problem is, if you turn it into five, it's just better Colress, and that's like, ugh, you know, it's awkward for, I think, the designers, but Jake, I will grant you that it is better than the next supporter.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This next supporter is Rourke, I want to say his name is. And you draw two cards, and oh, wait, that's not good enough. Oh, put a basic energy from your discard into your hand.
Not on your Pokemon. In your hand.
Why? Why have you printed? I mean, they can't all be home runs. I got to remind myself.
It's like, I think of Rourke, I think of Norman, I think of Larry, and I'm like, these are theme deck cards.
Yep.
Right? These are pre-release cards. These are the perfect cards that you print to put in these other products, right? To balance, quote unquote, you know, to balance these situations.
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, they can't all be bangers. But Jake, tell us about the next card. Is it a banger?
No, I think this card also sucks. This card is Chantel, a supporter on, I mean, it could be a little bit cheaper, thankfully, but anyways, this effect on Chantel, flip a coin, if head, switch in one of your opponent's bench Pokemon to the active spot. If tails, switch your active Pokemon with one of your bench Pokemon. I hate this card. I don't like this card.
It's a coin flip half Guzma.
it's like, so just weird. Play escape rope.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess the effect is like you get to choose your opponent's Pokemon.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's the benefit of the heads. The problem is the tails. If they'd written the tails to say if tails, you may switch.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that it doesn't say you may switch because so you're gonna
I think
play
that
this
arguably
card.
Makes it worse.
Oh yeah, exactly. So you play this card, right? And say you're like, oh, I need one thing to happen. I'm going to play this card because I need to boss. Oh, looks like I have to switch. Well, I lose. Or vice versa. Say you're like, I really need a switch out because I'm paralyzed. Flip that coin. Oh, I've just brought an opponent's Pokemon up. Cool. Thank you. Goodbye.
It's just, I don't know. Just play escape rope or switch card. Or switch card. The one that's been around since base set. Switch card. Just do that. I don't know. This Jake. Next series of cards, though, these items and tool cards are good.
Yeah. The first one I'm going to talk about, because this one blows my mind, is Snorlax Doll.
This is a really
doll.
Cool effect.
So Snorlax Doll, if you're familiar with like Lily's Poke Doll or a Substitution Robot, basically things that can act like Pokemon. Well, they've updated it a little bit, and this card says, if it's in your hand when you're setting up to play, you can actually put it face down as your active Pokemon, and then it acts as a 120 HP basic, and at any time during play, you can discard it. Now, this card can't be affected by special conditions, and if it's knocked out, your opponent doesn't take any prizes. So it's literally a dummy that you're putting in the active that your opponent's not going to take prizes. But the big difference from the old versions is you can play it as your first Pokemon in the active.
Mm-hmm.
Jake.
Well, you can also play it on the bench, but it's specifically only on your setting up phase.
Yeah. Can you put it into the active?
Yeah.
Now, you can't retreat this card. So that's why there's the stipulation to discard it. It does not have a retreat cost technically, but Jake, are you concocting disgusting strategies with this card?
No, because it's just if... I mean, I think this is really cool, and I really like the idea that they brought back these, like, you know, Lily's Poke Doll, RoboSub kind of cards, and I like that they gave it like a slight nerf, because usually I think it's like a 30 HP or like a 60 HP Pokemon. So yep. they give it the little nerf of like, you can only do this during your setup phase, but they gave it a ton of HP, 120. Well, that's nothing to scoff at.
Well, the nerf is, it's not a nerf. It's actually a bonus. You can put it as a basic Pokemon.
No, what I'm saying is like, you can only play the, it's a nerf because you can only play it at the setting up phase, right? Like if it's,
you can
turn
play it
two,
at any time.
Like,
you can play it. It's an additional thing. So you can play it from your hand at any point, but the addition is you can actually also play it during setup as you're active, which before you couldn't play Lily's Pokédoll or the substitution robot as your initial starting Pokemon. But
wait,
this one, you can play it anytime.
No, you can't.
Yeah. It doesn't say you can only play this card during your first turn or during
it
setup.
It says, you can do this only when you are setting up to play.
So if this card is in your active, is in your hand when you're setting up, you may put it face down in the active spot as if it were 120 HP. You can only do this when you're setting up, meaning you can only put it face down in the active when you're setting up.
Oh,
that's how I read it. Because
oh.
Otherwise, in my, I don't know, maybe I'm reading it wrong, and I'm sure... Justin, who listens to the pod, will. I really want to know, like, am I reading the card wrong that this card can only be played during your setup phase? Because if that's the case, they should have written the card very explicitly to say this card can only be played during setup. And then you have the
it's
thing.
It's just interesting because like my gut reaction is like, because it says it the first sentence, the first phase of the card says, if this card is in your hand when you're setting up to play. But I guess it kind of makes sense because, like, you know, that's just for, because like when you set up to play, you can only put basic Pokemon down. And so this card says, yeah, you can do that. But there's nothing in there, I guess, really that says you can't put it on the bench later in like your third turn. And but it's like a 120 HP basic. Or it's like a 120 HP doll.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you're right, though, because like the other cards did have a thing that like you can play this Pokemon as if it were a basic. It says that separately. Maybe mm-hmm. you're right. And maybe it is. Man, this wording is really bad. This
I don't
is
know.
Poorly
yeah.
written.
I mean, I don't know if it's poorly written.
Well, the fact that we both have completely different interpretations is not good.
Well, I think about it because like, the theme of this set, and I said this earlier in the podcast, like they're reprinting a lot of card effects that were insanely busted in previous formats and previous eras. And they're like, we're not going to make the card that powerful. Like we learned our lesson that time. And so I think of this, you know, as the reincarnation, like you were talking about with Lily's Pokédoll, RoboSub, those card, like RoboSub was broken.
Yeah.
RoboSub was really, really good. Lily's Pokédoll was also really, really good. Especially when you talk about like a Rangaroo control. And so this to me feels like the nerf's nerf.
Yeah.
Of like the next phase of it. And they're giving it 120 HP. So it's like, it's still like hefty. Maybe but that's just because the format is bigger, better hitting, you know, basics and stuff like that. I don't know. I would love to get the
ruling.
I mean, I like this card. I think it's cool, but I feel like, especially if it's the stipulation of you can only play it as the active Pokemon on the setup phase or on your bench in the setup phase instead of at any time in the game. If it's any time in the game, this card gets infinity value out of that.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I'm thinking about it now and I am like, they had a lot of problems with those cards in the past and I think they're trying to avoid that. So, yeah, I mean, like you pointed out, it doesn't say anything about how to play the card after your setup phase. So my gut actually says you're probably right. And this card is trash, which is very sad. Anyways, moving on. Jake, what's the first technical machine?
The technical machine. There's going to be four technical machines that we'll talk about in the set. It's the first time in a long time that technical machines have been in the format. And there's a theme that you're going to see on all of these technical machines. So we'll just go over it once because, you know, it'd be repetitive to say it again. The Pokemon this card is attached to can use the attack on this card. So think of like the scrolls and stuff, or like the...
The scrolls are a good example.
Yeah. The scrolls, the rapid strike, single strike scrolls. You know, they have attacks on them. You can use those attacks, but they also have another stipulation. If this card is attached to one of your Pokemon, discard it at the end of the turn. So technical machines can only be used one turn. It's not like if I attach it to my Roaring Moon, use the attack, and he survives the next attack, it stays on until it gets knocked out or lost vacuumed or something. No. Immediately after I announce my attack and the knockout phase has been done, it just goes into the discard pile.
Yep.
This one, Technical Machine Blindside, is a three colorless attack called Blindside because it's a technical machine. It's learning moves, right? This attack does 100 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon that has any damage counters on it. So if you're not a sniping deck, but you usually whiff and things like that, well, guess what? You can become a sniping deck with this card, putting 100 damage to a Pokemon that has damage counters on it already. So really, really cool finishing attack, in my opinion. I really, really like this. It gives flexibility to different decks. You know, we've seen stuff like Charizard already play Arvin, right? Arvin, I think, gets more popularity in specific decks that maybe don't have that snipe potential because of this technical machine. And I mean, let's face it, Forest Seal Stone is still a really popular card. So
yeah.
And the booster energies, the ancient and future booster things that we talked about, like those are other cards that can benefit off cards like Arvin. So hopefully you got your secret rare Arvins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one for me is kind of like a mid range, right? It's got a decent attack. The fact that you can make any attacker a sniper, it makes it harder to plan with your Manaphys. Because like some decks, you're like, oh, I know that they can do snipe damage. I'll throw Manaphy down. But this can kind of come out of nowhere. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think it'll find sneaky little homes.
It'll be fun to see. But, Sean, what's the next?
Oh, my gosh.
The next one that really had people in a roar, I would say.
This next one is apocalyptic for every stage two deck out there. It's Technical Machine Devolution. So same, thing with all the other technical machines that they're discarded. This one for one colorless. So literally any Pokemon, any deck, any energy, just one of it. Devolve each of your opponent's evolved Pokemon by putting the highest stage evolution card into your opponent's hand. So if you are playing against a stage one deck and you haven't done a lot of setup damage, this card is butt. It doesn't do anything. Because, like, yeah, it puts all the things back in their hand and then they just replay it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where this card gets really nasty is two scenarios. You either are a, like, Sableye Lost Box deck putting damage counters on all these stage ones, and then you do one energy attack. You put them all into their hand. They all die at once. And you just, you know, you walk away. The other one, though, the real thing that people got scared about is if you're a deck that plays Rare Candy, this is the scariest card.
Oh, yeah.
Because you devolve your Charizards. You devolve those Gardevoirs if they didn't have Curlias under them. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm out of Rare Candies.
I guess I've done. You just have 70 HP Pokemon as well. So not only are you running out of rare candies, but you're also losing Pokemon left and right.
Yeah, you're losing your attackers. I see this card. I don't know what home it lives in. I really don't. But the fact that it can go anywhere means, like, if... I don't know. I think it's going to force players to play very different games where they don't evolve all of their attackers as soon as they can. Like, you know, I think it's a common thing now that we're like, oh, I have the rare candy, I have the next big one, boom, I'll just slap it down, get out of my hand. I think people might have to play around this now.
The crazy thing would be like Ionos with this as well.
Well, because it's your attack, it ends your turn ends after you do this?
Well, it's what I'm saying is, like, you know, you talk about people maybe playing a little bit more passive of like, oh, I'm not going to evolve or whatever.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So then that's a whole nother layer of mental game. That's a whole nother layer of disruption in Iono, because you got to be like, okay, is the technical machine going to come down? Is the Iono going to come down? Like, there's a whole nother fear layer that gets put in with this. So, yeah, this technical machine is whack. Again, yeah. Arvin Stonk. I can see also Radiant Serena being stonked as well, you know, especially like you were saying of, you know, like stage one decks, things like that, just healing up a little bit. So then they don't get de-evolved and then knocked out immediately from the devolution TM.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what deck this lives in, but this is, I think it's almost a Gardevoir killer. I know that that's like a very crazy thing to say in some ways, but think about how Gardevoir, if they have the perfect setup turn two, then you have like two Curlias, maybe you rare candy into a Gardy EX, whatever, right? If your opponent follows up with a devolution, then everything goes back down to a Ralts. And so, yeah, you can get back into a Curlia the next turn, but what are the odds that you have another rare candy? So you basically end up taking an entire turn off, which in this format, taking a turn off is the difference between winning and losing a game.
I will say, though, I feel like this card, because it's an attack, right? Like you mentioned, it's a TM attack. I think the biggest thing that makes people okay with this card is that it has to be used, really.
Yeah.
I think most effectively to knock out Pokemon.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, you know, you could get a deck to miss a turn, but I feel like in order to maximize this card's potential, you have to be de-evolving Pokemon to take knockouts.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right there. So,
Jake, do we have anything that, just thinking about it, like, do we have anything that brings back tool cards besides Silene?
Yes, we have. Like, I know, what's the, not, is it Rosa?
Roseanne's backup?
Roseanne's backup, yes.
The one where it's like a tool card, a special energy, a stadium
and something else, a Pokemon or something. Yeah. Which I briefly played in a Gardevoir deck, because it actually was pretty decent in Drifloon version of Gardevoir.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there are ways to get these tool cards back. Jake, what is the next tool card? The next technical machine?
The next one is somewhat the opposite. It is called Evolution. It has a one colorless attack called Evolution. Choose up to two of your bench Pokemon. For each of those Pokemon, search your deck for a Pokemon that evolves from that Pokemon and put it on that Pokemon to evolve it. Then shuffle your deck. This is a really interesting card, especially when you talk about the turbo decks. I'm thinking of like Charizard. Right, because now you don't have to search for rare candies.
Yeah.
Now you can thin your deck, right? You can evolve. You can play like a turn one Arvin to get battle VIP pass and then also technical machine evolution, right? Yeah. You get your Charmanders down, you get the Pidgey down, whatever. And then you just have a Pokemon up front, can be anything. Just use that one energy attack to evolve the Pokemon. I have... Hold on, Sean, what, okay, so, question, I would love to know this ruling. Snorlax doll, when you put it face down in the active spot, as if it were 120 HP basic normal type Pokemon,
You can attach tools to it.
Can you attach the evolution tool to it?
Yes.
Put an energy on it and then use the attack?
Because while it's on the field, it acts as a Pokemon. So, yes.
Yeah.
So, I did look up
that crazy.
Ruling.
That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that you had looked it up or anything. That just popped into my mind because we had that good conversation about the evolution doll and its or the Snorlax doll and its ruling. That's crazy. Think about that. Snorlax doll evolution. Now they have to boss up one of the Pokemon. I mean, your Snorlax stays, but like, well, that's not that bad, actually.
You know, another card that I think this works really well with is Radiant Jirachi. So,
oh, yeah.
Radiant Jirachi.
Yeah.
What its ability says is if it is knocked out by damage from an attack, you get to search your deck for three cards. Mm-hmm. So that's the perfect leadoff in a setup deck. And you lead off with Radiant Jirachi, attach this, attach an energy, do exactly what you were saying with Arvin. And then, cool, I just go get exactly what I need, maybe even a counter catcher now because you've taken a knockout. Mm-hmm. I take the follow-up knockout, off to the races.
That's actually, that might be a better idea. I think mine's really cheeky, but I think actually might systematically just be a better idea.
I mean, it's a weird one because you still need to find, you still want to like have the Jirachi, which is a one of.
Then at that point, like you're sacrificing arguably better Radiant Pokemon like Greninja, Charizard, potentially.
Exactly.
You could even argue that Radiant Serena has been better. Because Radiant Serena has been used in stuff like Lugia.
Yeah. But, I mean, I will say, like, this card, again, Andrew Mahone showed off the power of this card with the Goldango deck. He turned one going second. All of a sudden,
my gosh. Yeah.
Two Goldangos. Because it's only a stage one. It's perfect.
Arvin gets so good.
Yes.
Searching out tool cards. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
The last technical machine here is Turbo Energize. This one has a colorless single energy attack. It says you can search your deck for two basic energy cards, attach them to your benched Pokemon in any way you like. So it's kind of like just it's two-thirds of a RCSV, kind of. Which, you know, maybe in certain decks is really good. I don't know. Of all of the attacks, I find this one to be the most middle of the pack of all of them. Like it's really like it's got to be in the right deck.
So you mean like the worst one?
Yeah, but I think they're all good, right?
Oh yeah, I mean they all have to be good because they're just there for that one turn.
Yeah. So like, it's just that you know you're giving up a prize to accelerate two energy. But you're attaching an energy to do it. So unless that thing doesn't get knocked out, you're basically only ahead of by one energy. And most decks have a way to get one energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like this one right now. I'm like, yeah, middle of the pack.
I will say, Sean, we talked about Earthen Vessel earlier for the ancient. Well, I guess it's not really... It's an ancient type card, but it's not really for ancient type Pokemon, just grabbing any sort of energy. But the future has a card similar to it in Techno Radar. You can only play this card if you discard another card from your hand. This item card says search your deck for up to two future Pokemon, reveal them, put them in your hand, then shuffle your deck. I think this is really, really cool. Unfortunately, it's only for future Pokemon.
Yeah.
Unlike the Earthen Vessel, which was any basic energy. But I still think this has a really, really good effect for future type Pokemon. So if you're playing a future type deck, I feel like you include these because this is free evolutions, right? No messing around with capturing aromas, right? If you're playing a future deck and specifically a future deck, this is a card that you throw in your deck, I feel like.
Yeah, I think Iron Valiant is probably the best example for this deck because you want multiple of those typically. Mm-hmm. So you can play this alongside Battle VIP Pass if you really just want to get all of them out as quick as possible. Like, yeah, this could be pretty decent. But otherwise, it's a good deck thinning card. I will also give it that. Like, even in the late game, if you're playing like four Iron Valiant, several of the Iron bundles like the Delibirds. I don't know what else you'd be playing, but like, you know, if you really went heavy, this is a really great card to just thin all of those Pokemon out of your deck.
I'm trying to scroll through real quick, trying to buy a little bit of time, trying to find potential like support future Pokemon. I can't recall any from last week's episode. Like potential support Pokemon. Like the only one I can think of is, like you mentioned, Iron Valiant EX, where you just want a basic Pokemon that switches around a bunch. This card could be nice if like a support Pokemon for future decks comes out, or maybe you just really want an easy way that's not Nest Ball to find Iron Hands EX.
Right. And like Iron Hands is electric type, which if you're playing Maridon, you don't need this card. You know what I mean? Like, so unless you're playing a four of Iron Hands deck.
Well, Iron Bundle, because Iron Bundle
Iron
is
Bundle's
a
good.
Forced. You may switch out your opponent's active Pokemon to the bench. Your opponent chooses the new active Pokemon. So like a forced disruption escape rope. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's a situation if you're playing Iron Hands and Iron Bundle, like you could play this card.
Yeah, totally.
Super so, niche, though.
Yeah. Jake, the very last trainer card is Tulip. This is an interesting one. You put four in
any combination.
Yeah, of psychic Pokemon and psychic energy from your discard pile into your hand. I like that it says up to four. It's really good for Gardevoir because you don't have to do the whole super rod and then search the deck somehow for your attackers. You can get not just basics but any kind. The other deck I think it's good in is if you are playing Zatu. I don't know if you seen the new, like, yeah, the new Zatu is basically Shadow Rider Calyrex, for those of you who didn't listen to last week's episode.
Baby Pokemon worth one prize,
right? And like that, you know, this is great support for that deck as well. So those are the two that I can think of right now that are like good, useful for it. But, you know, yeah.
I really like this card. And again, I think it's pretty niche, though, to Gardevoir. I think Gardevoir is going to see like a one of this, maybe two. Depending on what it is. The only problem is like you really have to focus on the Pokemon part, and maybe you can be more aggressive with just discarding the Pokemon instead of, you know, maybe another important piece. If you don't have any energy in hand, you don't have any battle VIP pass after turn one, like you can be a little bit more aggressive and assertive with discarding Pokemon, because then you can use Tulip to just get them back into your hand to evolve into Kirlias or Gardevoirs or something like that. And it's also going to help, like you mentioned, you know, instead of shuffling it back into the deck, you know, when you're trying to chain those baby Gardevoirs or something like that, you can constantly just have a fluid string of attackers. Because, again, it goes right back in your hand. And thank goodness for the up two, because if it said put four of any combination, you would be forced to put your psychic energies into your hand, which is the place really that you don't want. Your psychic energies, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting card. But Jake, we've reached the final card of the set. Which card is that?
It's not going to take long to talk about it. It's Medical Energy. As long as this card is attached to a Pokemon, it provides colorless energy. When you attach this card from your hand to one of your Pokemon, heal 30 damage from that Pokemon. I don't know, man. Like,
it's fine.
No, I mean, it's, you don't even, like, if you play this in Lugia and it didn't say from the hand, that would be crazy. That would be really, really cool and probably playable. But unfortunately, no, I don't know. I don't see it.
I think it's the from the hand was a really good addition there, because it's kind of broken in Lugia otherwise. But I don't know. There might be a world in which you are like a heavy healing deck and that extra 30 matters, but.
But it's only just 30 one time.
Yeah, it's like a potion.
I would rather play Turo.
Yeah,
play
honestly.
Turo, just pick it up.
Just get it all
easy.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Just pick it on up.
But yeah, Jake, that is it for the set.
The end. The end. Part two of Paradox Rift. Paradox Rift comes out not this upcoming Friday, but next Friday. And I'm trying to find the official release date, November 3rd. is when you can find it on store shelves. Make sure to ask your card shops, your brick and mortar card shops, if they're selling it any earlier than that, because potentially if they did pre-release kits and tournaments and things like that, they can start selling them as soon as the Monday of the week's set release, or maybe even earlier than that. I don't know. But anyways, just early. But if you want to stick to the Walmarts, the Targets, the whatever, GameStops, November 3rd is going to be the official date of release. So I'm looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of cool cards in the set. And I think overall, between the two episodes, we talked about a lot of cards. There's going to be a little bit of shuffling, I feel like, in the meta. Probably one of the more impactful cards of the, one of the more impactful expansions of recent memory, I feel like.
Yeah. And I'm excited to not have to worry about new cards coming out until at least next year, because we had Obsidian Flame, 151, and Paradox Rift, I think, each month, it felt like, almost.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much, no, because 151, so it was basically like a 4 month span, I think, because I think August was Obsidian Flames, September was 151, because it came out before I moved to Vegas, so it came out then, and then November is going to be that. So I mean, it's still three sets in 4 months is still a lot.
So
this is also another like simultaneous release, I think, with Japan.
Yes,
or
which is why
pretty close to.
Yeah, which is why we don't have set lists from Japan yet, which I think, Jake, you and I can talk about that on the next episode. Like, what are some early set lists? Like, what do we think is going to be the most impactful?
Deck lists.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, sorry. Deck lists. Yeah. So we don't have those from Japan yet. So this is very exciting, kind of a first in many ways for the Western audience to be deck building at the same time as our Japanese counterparts.
It'll be cool. It'll be fun. And we'll update you as always, whether you're a 10-year veteran or just getting back or into the game. Thank you so much for listening to the Matapod Podcast. I'm Jake. That's Sean. We will see you next week on the podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. See ya.